What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Taylor McCall. How are you, dude?
Doing great. How are you doing today?
Good, man. I'm very excited for this one. This is one I've been wanting to do for a while, man. And I guess before we hop into anything, man, just let us know what you're up to right now at this current moment. Like, you busy, shows or recording? What are you up to?
Yeah, totally. After about of this past year, 2025, mainly writing for my third record, I've been kind of hibernating and a bit of a hermit. And so coming 2026 here, just getting back out there and, you know, being active. And I've got a show coming up here at the end of the month and working on new music in the studio. And so all the good things, and hopefully have some new music out here soon and do some touring.
Awesome, dude. That's exciting. Way to kick off the year, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right on, man. So so people could kind of get a background on you, let's kind of, you know, go back in time a bit, if you will. So you come from South Carolina, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And so I'm from Kentucky, and I'd imagine the music is kind of similar in a way, just because of where we're maybe geographically located. I could be wrong, but I was wondering kind of what was the music scene, or what was it like being there and like the music that surrounded you out there?
Yeah, I'd say growing up, I didn't have a lot of people to make music with. I'd say I had an uncle who, he was real big into bluegrass, and it was mainly just like a private, personal kind of get away, escape from me. I got my first guitar when I was 6 or 7, and it was on the day my house had burned down when I was a kid. And so it was kind of like, ever since then, just like an escape, you know, from kind of living in your own bubble or in your own world, away from maybe reality in a little bit, in a good way, but also can be a bad way, I've learned. I was growing up didn't have many people to make music with, but definitely was inspired by the area of just something in the water with, you know, deep cut blues and hill music and Appalachian stuff. But I'd say my main inspiration was Hendrix and growing up, and just not even from a like copying way, or I never tried to do what a lot of people do with Hendrix, which is just, you know, rip everything off, but take the essence of it and the attitude and sprinkle in maybe a little bit of his flavor, but with the approach of like who I am as a person. And the music, first music that I started making and, you know, releasing was definitely that. It was all from an internal place rather than, oh, I was inspired by Bob Dylan or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And now that you mentioned Hendrix, and like, at least for me, when I listen to some of your stuff, first off, and if we're going to start talking about like your sound, it's what I like the most about it is it's just unique. Like there's, I feel like there's definitely different kinds of, if you like, styles, that it's all like kind of a big melting pot. And you mentioned Hendrix, and I was listening, I'm like, I get that kind of like, there is that bluesy kind of sense of like, you don't really know what it is. And I think that's like the beautiful thing about it, man. And if you would kind of describe like your sound, if you had to, like, how would you describe it?
Yeah, I would say there's kind of, for me, a way I look at it, and it's something I'm trying to always like put a finger on, because it's like, just depends on what I have in my hands and the mood I'm in that day. And what you're going to get is, if it's on an acoustic, it's going to be this kind of raw, more soul gripping, intimate, you know, flavor. And when it's on the electric, it's this more like menacing kind of blues, in a way that can be evil and in a cool way, but also just a little bit of darkness in both. But when the electrics come out, it seems to jump out a little more. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially in a time we're in now, when it, like in the music world, you could look at country music, any genre really, it's kind of cool how the genre lines are being blurred, and I feel like there's a lot more artists maybe feeling free to experiment more, or like the ones that have been doing it, maybe like people are looking into them more. Like, what do you feel about that?
I'd agree with that, and I'd say that's something I've always just done naturally from the beginning. Like, I don't do this for any other reason besides myself, and to help myself, but also serve others with that. If, you know, putting that out in the world serves them and uplifts people and gets them through the day, or has some kind of positive thing, then that's kind of, I feel like that's a life worth lived, you know what I mean? And it's something, you know, it's not just putting more noise or more slush out there, because like, if I felt like I was doing that, I wouldn't do that. You know, I wouldn't do this if I didn't feel like I had something to say, or things to get out, or, you know, it's aside from just being a creative person. But yeah, I'd agree with what you're saying with that. It's especially this day in the world where it's everybody's, I feel like that's why they're getting away from the mainstream news and more podcast or this or that. It's like to cut the bull crap, you know, and just, it's this thing of people are really wanting reality a little more in this kind of AI world.
Yeah. Like getting the more raw view of things and stuff like that. And when you, and you kind of hit on it there with your songs, like you, every artist does it for them, obviously. That's how they get into doing stuff. But I've always, like, from the outside looking into, like, the artists and when they work and when they create, it just seems like a crazy thing that it would, if their music connects with someone, like, they have never met, or just anybody in general, like, that feeling has to be crazy, I think. Because songs are so personal to you guys because they're your songs. So when you do put them out in the world and it connects to so many people, can you kind of describe that feeling that it gives you, I guess?
It's definitely the most satisfying feeling. Just, you know, before I got into this, I was very lost and kind of in a dark, depressed place. And it was just like, you know, kind of called out. And I was like, you know, there's a higher power above, like, show me, you know, show me what I'm supposed to be doing. Why am I put here? You know what I mean? Why I don't want to do things my way anymore, because they've only gotten me to the bad places or negative places, or not in harmony with what I'm supposed to be doing. And then when I was kind of given the gift of music and pursuing that, which is kind of a crazy thing to think about now, it's like how naive but realistic you have to be to get into it. But then the more you learn, it's like, man, that was quite the endeavor to believe, you know, immediately, like, hey, I'm gonna do this, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It is when you start finding and hearing from people that something you wrote for out of a feeling, they have a similar feeling that it's helped heal them. It's just, there's not much better you can get with that. And that to me is the purpose that I feel like I was looking for and never expected I would maybe even get, you know. It's especially hearing from people that have said my music's helped them with, you know, getting them through the night so they didn't harm themselves, or, you know, they've just had this experience or that experience with it. It's a gift, you know, it's beautiful, you know, we think we do it, but the good ones aren't. The ones that really impact people, I don't think, are a mental, like, thought out thing. I think it's just something that's given to you if your antenna's up.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. And kind of going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, like how you said when you you said that you weren't really surrounded in any kind of music scene or group or culture or whatnot. So when did you, whether it's like when you landed in like maybe a circle or a you know, like when music you really connected with, like maybe other people, like, mm-hmm. I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you moved out west, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was 18. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a bit, because, you know, moving anywhere is hard for anyone. I'm a huge worrywart and I hate change. So that gives me chills just when I saw that. So can you kind of describe like that whole process and like moving out there and how that maybe shaped you, not only creatively, but as like a human being too?
Yeah, 1,000%. I'd say before music, I was kind of as crazy and engulfed with fly fishing. I love that. It's like always been something that's just one of my favorite activities. It's a very, look at it in music as very similar things. You know, you can have music or fishing that is, you know, throwing a rod and just, you know, get this or that, or you can kind of take it and dig deeper in this meditative quality that is more artistically like a discipline, which is my favorite thing, rather than just like some surface level hobby that you're doing. And so that brought me out to Montana and just thought I was going to be a fishing guide the rest of my life. But it turns out I wasn't meant to live out there. I very struggle with, you know, seasonal depression and being there in the winter all cooped up at around people that don't talk like you or ain't no like mama's food around.
It's
kind of got me into a dark place, and I was like, man, I gotta get out of here. But that's where I started writing songs, and some of those first ones that people still love today, which is awesome. And just ended up coming back from there, come back home, and it's like kind of what I was talking about earlier, was just hit that place of like, what am I supposed to be doing? I'm going to a, you know, a technical college now, and I know more than the teacher about building because I was thought I was going to get into construction. And then finally, I just ended up, you know, deciding to do music. And I came to Nashville, and one of the first people I met was Dave Pahanish, a songwriter, hit songwriter, but also just a very gypsy soul like me, and still best friends to this day. But he was the right first person to meet with and start writing with, which would have been when I was probably 20, 21. And yeah, that's what got me to Nashville. And then ended up getting a publishing deal and I think September of 2018. And so that's what like full time brought me up to Nashville, writing songs and figuring that out.
Yeah, right on. And with Nashville, like I talked to a lot of like guys out in Texas, guys and gals out in Texas and Oklahoma. So I hear a lot of different opinions on Nashville. And I know, and Rage Rowdy's based in Nashville. So obviously I hear from all these different people about the culture there and the work ethic with like the writers there, you know, it's Music City and everything. So I'm kind of curious on your view in like how the culture is there, the sense of community, maybe like how would you explain it in your own words, how Nashville is to you?
Yeah, I think it's a sea of you can get into the rough waters real quick if you're not careful. But if you have a level head and a conscious effort of who you are as a person, it's whatever style or course or path you want to take. Because it has, that's the beautiful thing about Nashville is like people say this or that or about Texas or LA and stuff. It's like, in my mind, Nashville's like, you know, where it's where the best of the best people come to, whether it's engineering or recording or fixing tape machines or this or that. And it's like, you know, there's a broad group of people that are on the outside of just what everybody knows or sees that most people would never hear of, that are some of the wickedest players, best, most talented people, writers, you know, creatives. And you got to know how to navigate, you know, what your flavor of that is and what, you know, is good for you and you feel like is authentic. And it's, but you can easily, you know, take the route of like, you know, playing the game and doing this or that. And that's just something I've always just done things a little differently and kind of had to resonate, whether it's with a person writing or this or that, just a little differently than just everybody working with everybody and whatnot. But I definitely say I love it because even when I move away from it for a little while to like reset, it's like, you kind of got to do that. But then when you come back, you realize like, oh man, everything I love is here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fascinating, man. Let's talk a bit about, you talked about like writing and stuff. Let's kind of dive into that a bit. First off, I've always been so interested in the process of like when musicians go into like record and stuff. And I'm a big Beatles guy, so I see a lot of like them getting all weird in the studio on these documentaries and stuff. Do you find yourself experimenting a lot when you record or write anything like that, or is it kind of just like a natural thing that just constant. Happens?
No, it's constant experimenting and tinkering, and you know, months can go on. And luckily, where I live now, down out in the country, I rent a guest house that's got a studio that I've you know, was the console was just sitting in here and it wasn't getting used. And I was like, man, I'm going to have to figure out how to work this because it's a part of an extension of now my creativity so beautifully. And I've gotten everything set up and it's been such a beautiful way to get to tinker and experiment. And sometimes most of the best ideas sometimes just come in an instant, but then there are some of the best ideas come after, you know, this month I got one line of an idea and the next month the same. And then 4 months later, it's like, oh, I'll put all that together. And, you know, just from a lyrical concept, it's like somehow it's just like just worked, which is kind of more fascinating thing to me, how like taking each day and real and not being so hard, which I can tend to be, or people can tend to be in this, you know, fast paced world we live in. It's go, go, go. And I need this today. And you gotta, you know, it's not a thing that can be done with that sometimes. So you have to just remind yourself like, oh, I did good today. I got one or two good things and like, all right, I can shut it down and feel all right. And then come back 4 months later and be like, oh, that ended up being a great song. So, but yeah, it's constant. And that's what's so fun. I love sometimes more of the, even if you don't get anything done, just the sound searching and whatnots can be great, but that obviously doesn't always pay the bill, so you gotta sometimes get back to focus and be like, all right, this is just distracting me, I gotta sit down with an acoustic guitar.
Right. And like, surely like when you do take your time and like everything you said there, like take that process of you know, like waiting it out until you find the right sound. Like, I mean, that has to have the better like quality. I hate to use the word product, but you know what I mean? The greater result at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, cause you can squeeze the crap out of something and force it up against the wall, and that's never good.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can feel, you can do that because you feel like it's, you're being productive, but you're actually not. You're just forcing the muse, which is a very tough balance to try to strike and figure out. Do I, because sometimes when you're not doing that, you feel like you're being lazy and not working, but it's got to find this very harmonious balance of work and play, and also, not forcing it, you know, which can be hard when you, it turns into an occupation, or you just, cause you love it, you want something new, or you want to make a new song or a recording, you know?
Yeah. And before we move on, there's a couple songs, that stuck out for me. Me and my friend were talking about it before we hopped on here, that if we could talk a bit about a couple of them, sure. Rolling Stone Again, that really stuck with me when I took a deep dive again this morning. And I, it's a very bland question, I apologize, but can you kind of give us like the background, or like maybe the themes to that one?
Sure, I can tell you a bit about that one. So that one's a perfect example of what I was just kind of mentioning. It was, I'd been sitting in here at the studio, like banging my head against the wall. Like, I had this idea of like, talking about, you know, a higher power or something, but in a cooler, darker way, of just an honest way. It's like, tell me Revelator. And that just kept kind of coming back to mind. And I couldn't quite figure out what I was trying to say with that or where that might go. And then got together with my buddy Sean McConnell, who's helped me produce my last two records. And we do a lot of my favorite writing together. He's one of my favorite collaborators and writers to help me do my stuff with sometimes. And we sat down, just got some guitars and sat in his living room, and you know, I had that line and mentioned that, and kind of just was peddling the first chords, and was like, kind of almost kind of like envisioning it in a like a Ray LaMontagne way. I was like, how could that vibe fit? And that just kind of opened up this portal, and then that one happened pretty quick in like 15 minutes or so. But yeah, just talking about, you know, just being real, you know.
It's nuts. I will never understand how writers do that. Like, like they start out with something, and then it just happens. You know, I don't have the terms for it, but like it is magic. Yeah, let's put it that way. But so do you like collab, co-write a lot? I've seen a few. Like you talked about, you played with them, and my next song I was going to bring up was High Life, and mm-hmm. Working with Olivia Wolf on that. Can you kind of like explain how your whole process is when you co-write and stuff like that? For, I know it can sure. be hard for some people. So
for sure, early on it was like trying to figure it out. It was like, oh, you don't have to go in and tell, you know, your life story to everyone that you work with for the first 2 hours, or you'll never get nothing done. So it became more natural and something where you just pop in a room and just like try to find, or whether it's writing for me or someone like Olivia when we'd first met, it was like, you know, had to hit it off with the person first and respect or admire what they're doing, interested enough to like feel like I could, you know, write with them in a way that, you know, was productive and creative and beneficial and just fun. And it's a small circle of people, but like Sean and Olivia and my buddy Dave and a few other people. But yeah, those are some of my main people that I write with. And yeah, end up getting with them and just, you know, usually the first couple of times, especially with someone new, is like can be some of the best. And that happened to be with Olivia. And yeah, it's been awesome to like help her do some writing. And she's, you know, helped me with some stuff and got to play on her record. And yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I'd imagine when you do make that connection and it like clicks like that, because when you like, if you get into the room with like someone new, it has to probably be like the first thing on your mind is like, are we going to gel? And yeah. I'd imagine the feeling of actually clicking has to be like, all right, we're good. Let's go.
For sure. And that's where I've kind of gotten more conscious about how to like that process is just these days going forward. I tend to just like, all right, let's get a day, especially if it's someone I don't know, like let's just hang and meet. You know, let's like not even write today. If we do, cool, but not put any pressure on it and just get to know each other, get to meet. And if we vibe, then go from there, you know. And if we don't vibe, it's not like I have to like sit through this thing where we're both just, you know, wasting our time, you know. But
yeah,
gotten pretty good these days about, you know, put stuff on my calendar that I feel like is a fit.
Awesome. Yeah. So let's talk a bit about, I know you have a Nashville show coming up here in like a week or two.
I think. January 24th at the OG Basement. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. And I'm of the camp that thinks live shows are very important. And I say on here all the time, but like live shows are pretty important when it comes to making new fans. I think, like, I can't tell you how many times I stumbled into a club and saw someone for the first time and I'm still listening to them today. And I think that could be like a very good first impression, obviously. And I was kind of wondering like what your thoughts are on that. Like, cause I just think the live shows are like maybe one of the most important parts, I think, about maybe you might have a completely different opinion. What do you think about that?
I mean, I did early on, I struggled with touring and playing shows because I'm a very sensitive, you know, heightened, you know, nervous system dude. I was like, man, I don't feel like I could make, like, I don't find this enjoyable. I don't know how I could do, which I was like, how am I going to do this if I don't enjoy that? And then I got a call from to go on tour with Robert Plant a few years ago. And getting to do that with Repetition was like, you know, a good, it was great for me because it really took me to the most echelon of high touring and high pressure, you know, big, whatever, sold out 1,000 cat. And then being able to do that nightly for, you know, 15 nights straight, two different tours, you know, that really put the bug in me and made me feel like it was, I had a different perspective on it. And it just took a little time to get ready and, you know, feel comfortable with doing that. And it gave me a different look on it rather than going out and doing this scary thing and standing in front of people. It was like, oh, I'm here to serve the music that I've written. And that's half of it, because it's, you know, to make great things is great, but to not get to like go out and play those, it's, you're missing half the engagement with the people that want to listen to it. And you get to serve more on, you know, and be there for people. And maybe, you know, just kind of looking at it like being a missionary in a way. It's like, if you sit at home all the time, you're not going to reach many people. You know, you got to get out there and get on the road. But yeah, I've kind of changed my tune on that and have fallen in love with actually playing, which has been great. And just being free rather than tense or trying to control something. That's easy to do, you know, but playing from a place of freedom and like letting go is easier said than done. But to do that is like, it's kind of my main mission now. And with going forward this year and Nashville, especially, like, doing some monthly shows to really help myself get out there more and offer some, you know, fans the experience to see it, and also to like just tinker with stuff live and play some of the new music.
That's awesome. When you play live, do you find that, like, if you wrote a song and then you go and play it on stage, do you ever like hash it out? Like, do you better on stage? Does that make any sense? Like, in a live setting, are you ever like workshopping like up there as well, like to put a song together?
Constantly. I mean, some stuff you immediately, the live thing's completely different because it just, you know, the way you recorded it was, you know, it just doesn't, you know,
like translate.
Yeah, it doesn't translate live. So you have to find ways, or some songs just don't translate live because you don't have these things maybe that make that, which is okay too, but that's rare. But usually a good song, it can live in many different worlds, but it can also like tell you what it wants to be, whether it's live. And there's certain songs that have grown to be even cooler live with time, but also stuff that just, you know, stays the same. But try to find with each show or with each year of just not trying to do what we did the last year and trying to find new ways to like spin that song in a better, cool way.
Right on, man. Thanks so much for hopping on. Before we close out, I got a couple more things. This is kind of a softball question, but 2026 just kicked off. You kind of hit on a few things for the year throughout this interview, but are there anything like short-term, long-term goals that you might want to accomplish this coming year, or this year, I should say?
Yeah, just getting out in Nashville more and monthly playing and just being present and doing, you know, getting a lot more things done this year. Last year, I was kind of just not a great headspace and was not very productive in ways that I don't have to get into. But this year, just starting fresh, I'm in such a good place again. I got new management and just trying to be present with everything and not be so damn worried about everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And just get out there more. Yeah.
Right on. And is there any new music that you could tell us about to look forward to coming up or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm going to be playing some of these new songs live here the 24th, and so people will get to hear them, and we'll be doing some posting stuff, but we've gotten, you know, we've gotten a batch of tunes that we're going to be recording very soon. I've already done some recording on some of it, and very excited, but yeah, there's some a new song called Briars and Brambles, and Pagan Thunder and Funeral Choir will be playing for the first time live, which I'm real excited about, coming up at the end of the month. And if you come to a show throughout the year here before we release it, you'll get to hear those. But you kind of heard it here first with some of the new song titles here.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Taylor, so thank you so much. This was awesome. People can find you. Is it just Taylor McCall or?
Taylor McCall Music. Yep. And then just my website's taylormccall.com. And yeah, anywhere on the socials. Yeah.
Yep. All right, y'all make sure to do that. It's totally worth it. I'm so glad I discovered Taylor, and I will be listening and paying attention to these new songs coming up. So,
thank you, brother.
Yeah, thank you. And everyone also make sure to check out Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us, will pop up. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Taylor, thank you again. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you. My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Take you home tonight.